Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 4, Transcendental Knowledge, text number 14. Namam karmani limbanti. Ime karma pale spriha. Iti mam yo bijanati. Karma bir nasabhadyate. Na, never. Mam, me. Karmani, all kinds of work. Limpanti, do effect. Na, nor. Me, my. Karma phalae, phale, in fruit of activities, in fruit of action. Spriha, aspiration, iti, thus, mam, me, yaha, one who, abhijanati, does know, karma bi, by the reaction of such work, na, never, saha, he, bhajate, becomes entangled. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. There is no work that affects me, nor do I aspire for the fruits of action. One who understands this truth about me does not become entangled in the fruit of reactions of work. Purport. There are constitutional laws in the material world stating that the king can do no wrong, or that the king is not subject to the state laws. Similarly, the Lord, although he is the creator of this material world, is not affected by the activities of the material world. He creates and remains aloof from the creation, whereas the living entities are entangled in the fruit results of material activities because of their propensity for lording it over material resources. The proprietor of an establishment is not responsible for the right and wrong activities of the workers, but the workers are themselves responsible. The living entities are engaged in the respective activities of sense gratification, and these activities are not ordained by the Lord. For advancement of sense gratification, the living entities are engaged in the work of this world and aspire to heavenly happiness after death. The Lord, being full in himself, has no attraction for so-called heavenly happiness. The heavenly demigods are only his engaged servants. The proprietor never desires the low-grade happiness such as the workers may desire. He is aloof from the material actions and reactions. For example, the rains are not responsible for different types of vegetation that appear on the earth. Although without such rains, there is no possibility of vegetative growth. The Vedic Smriti confirms this fact as follows. Nimita matram eva sao shri janam sarga karmani pradana karani bhuta ito vai shri ja saktaya. In the material creations, the Lord is the only supreme cause. The immediate cause is material nature, by which the cosmic manifestation is made visible. The created beings are of many varieties, such as the demigods, human beings, and lower animals, and all of them are subject to the reactions of their past good or bad activities. The Lord only gives them the proper facilities for such activities and the regulations of the modes of nature, but he is never responsible for their past and present activities. Vedanta Sutra 2.1.34, it is confirmed by Shamya Nira Grine Na Sapek Shatvat. The Lord is never partial to any living entity. The living entity is responsible for his own acts. The Lord gives him facilities through the agency of material nature, the external energy. Anyone who is fully conversant with all the intricacies of this law of karma or fruit of activities does not become affected by the results of his activities. In other words, a person who understands the transcendental nature of the Lord is an experienced man in Krishna consciousness. Thus, he is never subjected to the laws of karma. One who does not know the transcendental nature of the Lord, and who thinks that the activities of the Lord are aimed at free results, as are the activities of the ordinary living entities, certainly becomes entangled himself in fruit of reactions. But one who knows the supreme truth is the liberated soul fixed in Krishna consciousness. So the text again. Namam karmani limpanti name karmapale spriha itimam yo bijanati karma virna sabadyate. There is no work that affects me, nor do I aspire for the fruits of action. One who understands this truth about me also does not become entangled in the fruit reactions of work. This is an explanation of how the material world is going on in relationship to the jiva soul. This is explained throughout the Bhagavad Gita that the living entity is actually aloof, as we've heard repeatedly, that we're actually not entangled, we're transcendental, and we're not doing anything. But then we know we are doing something, otherwise we wouldn't be here. Namely, we're desiring, but because we don't, well, if we know how to desire, then we don't get entangled. And if we don't know how to desire, then we get entangled. Now Krishna, he himself has created the material universe. And he controls everything that goes on. And it's all his energy. Therefore, it says that he's aloof from everything. Just like someone in the material world feels some lacking. And because they feel some lacking, therefore they feel that they need something. And those who can give them what they need, they become friends. And those who threaten to take away what they want, they become enemies. But for Krishna, he eternally owns everything. So he has nothing to get from anyone. And no one can take anything away from him. Therefore, there's no one can become his enemy. Therefore, Krishna is aloof. Nichama karmi, nichama tani karmani, nivandanti didanjaya, udasinadvarasinam asaklam teshu karmasu, that all this work cannot bind me, I'm ever detached, seated as though neutral. Just like the judge, someone may appear before him and offer him a huge, he may award someone a huge amount of money, and someone else may come before him and he may condemn them to death. But this is not that the judge is partial towards one and is averse to someone else. No, it's due to the person's activities that the judge is either rewarding or punishing. Similarly, Krishna has super soul and everyone's heart is not attached particularly to any kind of activity, nor is he averse to any activity. But as the soul desires, and as Krishna senses that desire, just like one can understand the flavor of a flower by smelling it, so Krishna arranges through his material nature in order to satisfy the desires of the minute living entities. Now, of course, our desires are also not independent. Because we've cultivated certain desires in past lives, therefore our subtle body has become molded in a certain way. And that molding of the subtle body brings us into another body, into the present body we're in. And according to our association, sadvan rupa sarvasha sharad bhavati bharata sharoma yo yo purusho yo yachara sa eva saha, that according to one's existence, under the three modes of material nature, one evolves a particular kind of faith. In other words, when we were born with a certain conception from the beginning. And due to our karma, we were born into a certain family. And they had a certain conception. And naturally, from the very beginning, we were trained in a certain way, according to the conception of our associates from the beginning of life, whether it be our brothers and sisters or our parents or our early teachers. They molded our consciousness in what was the purpose of life and how to achieve it. Now, most of us weren't born in Gurukul, in a family of Vaishnavas, where we went to Gurukul from the beginning of our lives and learned dana and dhamma and yajna, sacrifice, charity, and austerity. Therefore, we have to learn it later on. In any case, this idea of becoming aloof from the material nature and is the same as Krishna, that's the science. It's a practice by which we can do it. We can call it sadhana bhakti, but ultimately it's to become conscious of Krishna. And when we find out how blissful Krishna is all the time, irrespective of any material circumstance, then we'll also become, in association with Krishna, blissful also in any circumstance. And therefore we won't desire it to be put into a certain circumstance, nor will we become disturbed if we're put into an undesirable circumstance, because we won't be living in a material circumstance, we'll be living in the spiritual circumstances all the time, by constantly associating with Krishna and everyone and everything in relationship to Krishna. Therefore, namam karmani limpati, Krishna has nothing to desire and nothing to lament over, to be averse to. And similarly, a devotee of Krishna also has nothing to desire, nothing to lament, because everything is blissful for them. Blissful because they're in consciousness of Krishna. And that's, as the previous verse says, that's the perfection of our learning sacrifice, learning charity, learning sense and mind control, practicing austerity, becoming fearless and transcendentally knowledgeable and pure. The result of that is to become conscious of Krishna and understand everything should be done as an instrument for Krishna. And then one becomes perfect in Krishna consciousness. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions?
Thank you for your lecture and for your time and being with us. I'm just wondering how can a man or a woman like us feel a paramatma in our heart and how well, we can what is the manifestation of this?
Well, paramatma is speaking Bhagavad Gita outside. So the way we have to, as far as feeling paramatma in our heart, well, we can meditate on Paramatma, think of Krishna, Paramatma's form, and that's as good as thinking about Paramatma, but I don't think our aim is to be guided by Paramatma to engage in pure devotional service. In other words, Paramatma can help us understand Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. And when we understand Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, by the help of the clarification of Paramatma within our heart, then the result is we engage in pure devotional service, and then Krishna gives us, well, he reveals himself when we become blissful. He destroys with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance, which he is knowledge. We become conscious of him. So the path is learn the philosophy. Everything here belongs to Krishna. Everything should be engaged in Krishna's service, according to Krishna's representatives, the instructions of Guru, Sadhana, and Shastra, and do everything to please Krishna under their guidance. And then Krishna will reveal himself to us. We'll remember Krishna in meditation. And we'll feel, eventually we'll become qualified to feel Krishna's presence in every sphere of our lives, in every always. But that takes some time. First, we have to get some knowledge. Then we have to see it in proper perspective. Then we have to apply it skillfully. Then conviction will come. And from conviction becomes complete absorption. and becoming a perfect instrument for Krishna and developing the character of a pure devotee. And if we have the character of a pure devotee, then we're qualified to associate with Krishna all the time. But that's a gradual process. So therefore we sit here and we try to get some knowledge. One thing, we can learn one thing in class and then see it properly, see something properly and then apply it. Then Krishna will reciprocate and then we get some conviction that this is good and then we'll come back and try to hear a little bit more so we can apply it more. And then more conviction will come and our character will improve. Is that clear?
Maybe, I don't think so, but in time you'll get them.
Yeah, of course. There's no quick fix to suddenly Paramatma pops into. We have to go through a gradual process. If you want to learn anything, if you want to become a surgeon, first you have to understand what medicine is. You don't immediately become a surgeon. To become a lawyer, first you have to go to undergraduate school. And then eventually you can become a high court judge. First you have to become a lawyer. Then if you become a qualified lawyer, one day you may become a high court judge. You can't just one day decide to become a high court judge. You have to go through the training.
Because sometimes I feel like Krishna makes an arrangement like a flower in the moment, and we have to know how to act according to this. And
yeah, of course, that's what we're learning.
I don't know if I'm properly guided in every moment.
Well, I'm sure you're not. You don't have to worry about that. We just have to get a few moments where we do the right thing. So we have these beads, we can chant Hare Krishna, so we're sure that that's the right thing. And we can make it more right if we chant with care and attention. So we can know the right thing to do, but then we have to do it in the right way also.
And then you get like...
Then Krishna will reciprocate. Anything else? Yes.
So tomorrow is Balaram Purnima. Could you maybe just tell us how we can prepare or how we can go into that day so we would...
Take rest early. So you can get up early. Anything else? You can tell millions of things. We won't do anything. We can take up rest early. That would be good. All right. Is that it? Someone else had a question? Thank you very much.